What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Who You Got With
Mello
and Rado. Is a sports podcast where we talk about your favorite sports highlights, sports debates, and sports matchups. And you know, the first round of NBA is done.
Ooh.
On to the conference semifinals, Mello. What's going on, man?
8 teams started, 4 teams left.
Exactly. What are we talking about today?
8 matchups.
8 matchups, yeah.
Now there's down to 4 left.
Eight teams,
and that's pretty much what we're here to talk about, man. Second round is just now we get into the top echelon of teams, really getting into a lot of really top contenders. Because when you got 1 versus 8, it's just like you already know who's gonna win.
Honestly, I thought a few 1 versus 8 were gonna be a little bit more exciting this time, but
yeah,
this time
Booker came back and said no.
Yeah, basically, and honestly, obviously Brooklyn didn't do nothing, and we didn't have any upsets at all in this first round, which hasn't happened in a while.
Honestly, it was a very quick round.
Yeah.
We didn't have no game sevens, probably a couple game six, 1 sweep, a couple gentlemen.
Exactly. Yeah, a couple gentlemen sweeps. So it got, you know, got off pretty quickly. So now we're on to the second round. You know, mm-hmm. It's coming up, and we got 4 great matchups that we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, 2 on each side, Eastern Conference and Western Conference semifinals. So let's go ahead and, you know, want to go ahead and get into it. You know,
that's
matchups are crazy
for,
right now.
It's
so talking
about who you got. So let's pick who you got. Might as well start off in the East.
That's right.
Got some juggernauts left. And 2 of them are facing off right now. Miami versus Philadelphia. That's a matchup in a series that's going to be hectic.
Exactly.
Because you got one of the best defensive teams in the league. And honestly, on the other side, you got 2 of the best scorers in the league.
Yeah,
who get to the free throw line?
Well, at one point they were best scorers. Right now, Harden's definitely falling off a little bit. But like you just said, free throw line.
And that's pretty much what the questions are going to be: who are we going to see in these series? Like, what type of who we're going to see? But what type of player are we going to see? Like, what type of Harden are we getting?
Right.
Because that first round, as you just said, was a little underwhelming.
For sure. I mean, I don't think he averaged 20 for the. I think he was just over 20, but barely, like a tick over 20.
It took
him
like 1 or 2 games where he really had to go off to get that.
Took him that last
definitely
one.
Definitely a little subpar.
I'm surprised Maxey's been balling out for them. You know, he's been stepping it up, and you need another guy that can shoot.
That's their big 3 right now, and at this point, he garners a defensive assignment and like a defensive strategy.
That's true.
You know, at this point, he's not just a role player.
That's true. But on the other side, you got like a team that's so like they play so well together, so many pieces around that team, and they're so deep. They have like a 9-10 man rotation.
And at this point, they're playing deep in the playoffs, and they have no problem playing it because each player play their roles to great what they need to play. But pretty much the story is injuries and performances. Obviously, Harden's the one who's not injured, but we don't know what we're going to get. But everyone else is facing some sort of injury, basically. B started off the round with the fractured thumb. Now got the orbital fracture.
Now he's got an orbital fracture, and he's out indefinitely. And we don't even know when he's going to come back. If indefinitely, to me, means that he's out for the season. I don't know. I mean, orbital fracture.
Exactly.
That's a face bone up here, you know, towards your eye.
You don't want no mess with that, especially with a big man who takes a lot of contact.
Yeah, especially down in the paint, you know, getting elbows out there. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll see Mask and Beat again. I don't know.
We will when he does come back, if he comes back.
Yeah.
That's why they're saying it definitely because they don't know yet. But whenever he does come back, it will be Mask and Beat to the rest of the till the end. Basically.
Maybe till the end, but I think like he'll put it on and take it off like a few games, kind of like LeBron did. He liked it a few games and then he didn't like it certain games. You know, he thought he played better in certain ways. I mean, we can even go off on a tangent on some of the best mask players that we should probably do that if he does come out with the mask.
We did have a couple good mask players,
of course. I mean, Richard Hamilton, obviously. LeBron came out. Kobe came out with a mask one time. So there's definitely a few that we can have a little debate. You know, if Embiid happens to come out with a mask. But anyways,
he's actually had some good performances.
He has. He's done it before, you know. That's what I mean. Like, you know, obviously, like, he's always had trouble with injuries, but it's tough when it's in the playoffs and they look like one of the best teams right now. The East is so tough this year.
Yes, it is. Everyone's sleeping on them.
From 1 to 4, when they finished the season, they were away 2 games away from all each other, so you know, Miami and Philly is close matchup. It's going to be a close matchup to me, even without Embiid right now. Just the amount of shooters that Philadelphia has, I think that they're going to be able to at least, like, shoot with them. They do have good defense as well, so.
No, especially because right now, Lowry and Butler had to sit the last game of the series in the first round against the Hawks because both of them are going through a little bit of an issue.
Yeah.
I think it's Lowry with the hamstring and Butler with the right knee.
Right knee, exactly.
So they should be both available for game one of this series. But yeah, you also want to say you want to watch their health for the continuation of this series.
I think it's great that they actually got to sit that sixth game and still win. Which is awesome for Miami. Like, that's huge for them.
So honestly, at this point, it's pretty much going to be Harden and Maxey versus the Heat. And honestly, that's a very bad style up for them because the Heat, if anything, have nothing but people they can throw at guards and forwards, mostly guards. But at the end of the day, whether you're 5'10 or 6'7, they have no problem throwing PJ Tucker at you to start off with.
He's going to be a great defender against Harden. I think that he's probably going to
be the main. He's going to be the main defender. Then you got, obviously, like I said, you got Butler if need be. You definitely got a couple other people. You got Lowry if he comes back. Lowry's
going to come back. And, of course, you also got Oladipo. He's been balling out these playoffs. He averaged, like, 14 points in the first round, but still he had, like, 23 points in the final game.
Well, yeah, offensively, I'm talking about, like, defensively, what they're going to throw pretty much at Harden, because at this point, him and Maxey are the ones you got to stop. And, like, yes, Oladipo definitely provides some scoring off the bench, but I wouldn't consider him a top-notch defender.
No, not definitely not, but he's a shooting guard, so he's going to be obviously defending Harden sometimes. But
I mean, that's what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to switch to get Harden. I mean, Harden's going to try to switch to get Oladipo, Hero, and Robinson. Those are the pretty much three matchups of defensive.
You don't want Tucker for sure.
No, that's what they're going to try to do is find a way to get those switches, because Miami switches everything, and pretty much try to find a way to control the half court through that.
True. I mean, I definitely think that Oladipo is going to be able to get his work offensively, but on the other side with Harden, I think that if obviously Harden loves to get to the free throw line, if he happens to get Oladipo in the foul trouble, then that's going to be an issue with them. I know they have a lot of, like, shooting guards. You know, they still got, obviously, Tyler Hero that's shooting very well this year, sixth man of the year.
I'll be honest, they're probably fine if Oladipo gets in trouble, because they still got Lowry, Butler,
Hero. Yeah, they got Martin as well, Robinson. Cody Martin as well, nice player.
They don't like to play stress because of he's the biggest defensive liability on that team. But at the end of the day, Oladipo is probably, they're going to want to keep him off of any star player and just let him focus his energy on offense and
focus
and
on offense
some
yeah.
points for them.
That's the thing though, like, Miami has so many offensive players, but, like, I mean, even though Embiid's gonna be out, they still have Andre Drummond to hold down that paint, hold down the defense. He gets rebounds a lot. Obviously, he every time he's been on a team starting, he averages around 10 to 11. So
no, for definitely... sure. If they come back, or if they have to deal with Drummond, they can actually be able to deal with, like, they can hold their own down there.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be crazy to see Bam versus Drummond, because I know that offensively, Bam, he's probably going to get some work against Drummond. You know, they're going to try to push him in there, maybe even try to get Drummond in the foul trouble, because they don't have many bigs, if you think about it. I mean, I hope Tobias Harris, like, plays well, because maybe you're going to have him at the five sometimes and play him against Bam. You know, Bam's not, like, a huge center, and you might have to play Tobias Harris at the five with him, and he might have to actually try to make some stops, because that's going to be a big issue for me, because if Embiid's out for a long time, especially like 4 to 5 games,
right,
this is going to be a problem for the inside game of Miami, you know?
Oh, no, for sure. Yeah. And the only way Miami doesn't win in the paint is if Embiid come back. At the end of the day, if Embiid comes back, there's literally no one who can guard him at this point. Bam is going to get eaten up alive. He's literally 6'7", 6'8". And obviously, their backup, Detman, or what's his
Detman,
name?
Yurtseven.
He's not going to do... They're both going to get eaten up alive, even though they're 7 foot. So it's pretty much going to be a defensive series, and that's what's going to name the game, how they decide to guard each other. Philly's going to use a lot of zone. They relied on a lot of zone. In the first series, I don't know if people really caught on to that.
They do, and they love to switch, like you said before. They definitely love to switch with their players. So I think that both of these teams are actually they do a lot of that. In the regular season, they do a lot of switching. They go underneath the pick, and then they go to the other guy. So I definitely am gonna see, like, some great matchups with both of these teams offensively. I don't know if it's really gonna be as much of a defensive matchup in the first few games, especially if Philly's trying to figure out how to score without Embiid. Remember, Embiid scored 30 points a game this year, so they're going to need to get points otherwise from other team or other people. But I think that Miami's going to be able to score in those first few games, especially they're playing in Miami.
And that's why I said guaranteed Philly end up switching to the zone. But the problem is that is Miami kind of shot the best of 3-point percentage in the season. So
that's what I mean. They got Duncan Robinson, like hero. Even Jimmy stepped it up, you know, like with his 3-pointer. So, I mean, so yeah, that begs the question. And who you got for this series? I mean, we talked about this, you know, earlier when we did our previous episode. We just talked a little bit about it because we both thought that this was going to be the series, you know, in the second round. And, you know, who you got for this one? Both tough teams without Embiid.
I mean, Embiid's at least out for 2-3 games.
Yeah.
That's at least without us knowing anything.
Yeah, I agree.
So at the end of the day, without Embiid, that Miami Heat team is going to suffocate Harden and suffocate Maxey, and they'll find a way to get it done. So I go with Heat and 6.
Wow. Wow, and 6. So, I mean, honestly, my pick, it all is based off of Embiid. Like,
Even if he comes back, I feel like at that point it's going to be too late.
I don't know. I feel like if he comes back game 4, then it won't be too late. I think they can make some things happen. I even think that possibly Philly could steal one in Miami. I do think that the first two, I think Philly's going to take one. I think it's going to be 1-1 going into Philadelphia. Then the series is going to go back 2-2. That begs the question, after game 4, when it's 2-2, you know, who wins the next two games or the next three, obviously the next 2 out of 3. Honestly, if Embiid doesn't come back by game 4, I think it's going to be Miami in 6. But if he does come back, I actually got Philly winning this one. If he comes back game 4, that is, I got Philly winning in 7.
I don't think Philly lose one at home. I mean, I don't think Miami lose one at home.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. I think they will. I think they'll lose one of the first two. I think they will. I just think that Harden's going to step up for sure. He knows that people have been talking about him. He knows that he hasn't been scoring a lot.
He knew that in Houston.
No, he didn't. He didn't do that in Houston.
No, I'm saying he knew that in Houston.
Oh, he knew it, but he didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And that's why, like, a lot of people talk shit about Harden in the playoffs. You know, we always know he's a great offensive player in the, you know, regular season, but in the playoffs, he kind of chokes. But with this team, I feel like they got Maxey as a 3-point shooter, and Harden loves to go inside and get those free throws. He's going to be easily be able to get, like, 15 to 17 free throws in one of these games, one of these first two. And obviously, if he scores around 30, 35 points, then I think they have a chance to win one of those games. But for me, it all depends. The series depends on Embiid. You know.
Now, I'm going to give it to the team with more momentum and a healthier team.
Yeah.
And a deeper team.
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree. If the way we're seeing it now, I think Heat and 6.
Yeah.
Unless Embiid comes back game 4. But, yeah, that's a great series. Like, to start off the NBA, you know, second round.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously, these two teams are tough. And one-four matchup, like I said, all East teams are tough. But who we got next in the next matchup?
Oh, we got the 2-3 matchup in the East. And
that's right.
Y'all already know who we here to see, baby. And we talking about the Boston Celtics versus the Milwaukee Bucks, man. Celtics were the only team to pull off a sweep.
Yeah.
In the first round.
Against Brooklyn.
Against Brooklyn.
That, like, dang.
Dominating fashion.
Crazy.
Jason Tatum had a statement series.
Mm-hmm.
Made his case as one of the best two-way players in the league right now.
Yeah,
29
for sure.
Points, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 1.8 assists, while primarily locking down Kevin Durant. Antetokounmpo led the Bucks on his back after Middleton went down to pretty much get a gentleman sweep over the Chicago Bulls. Pretty much, he did his thing. Two-time MVP came out to play.
He did.
28 points, 13 rebounds, and that's pretty much with mostly knowing that Middleton is out for the rest of the season with that torn or sprained MCL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So both of them, both teams and both superstars put on great performances in the first round, and now you come to one of the best clashes you'll see in this postseason, in my opinion.
I mean, this one is going to be very close to me, and this one already, even though Middleton's out, I think that, you know, they still have a great chance. Milwaukee plays very well.
Chance at what?
Chance at making this a series.
Oh, okay.
Not like, I mean, I don't know. I still think Boston's the more talented team, to be honest. Like, we can just go off straight up at that. I feel like with Brown and with Tatum, you guys are just way too talented right now, playing together so well. Obviously, you're getting Robert Williams back. Well, he came back the last game of the first round, so now you got him back.
Right.
He's coming back into the rotation. I think that's a big piece for you guys. With Middleton now, I think that Milwaukee can make it a series. I mean, they struggled a little bit in the first round, but not that much, you know.
Yeah, no. They definitely played a good first round. And honestly, the reason why I'm so excited about this matchup because it's basically Giannis versus the Celtics defense. It's literally Thanos versus the Avengers. And obviously, basically, it's not like sides, you know, who's who, but like basically it's one person versus a whole defense. And I love when someone used a description to define this matchup, and it was an unstoppable force, meaning an immovable object.
Yeah.
And that's like that. 100% what it is. Giannis is an unstoppable force, and the Celtics defense is an immovable object.
Damn, so I guess we're going to have to see who wins, though.
That's
Damn.
All it's going to come down to is who came first.
Usually that type of that goes into a draw, you know, so that means it could be a game seven, is the way you're looking at it. I mean,
without Middleton,
they're going to have trouble scoring, but, you know, obviously they got Jrue Holiday who can actually lock down people on your team as well, on the Boston Celtics. Like, I feel like Jrue Holiday could be a guy that could even go against Brown if he wanted to.
More than likely, that's going to be the matchup he assigns because JT's actually going to be guarded by Giannis.
Most likely,
And then Giannis is going to be guarded by Horford. Al Horford with the combination of Grant and Al Horford. Because Grant Williams played a great defensive fucking series against Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He did his thing. Yeah, and man, he's finally becoming a 3-D player we've been wanting. So it's going to be Al Horford and Grant Williams getting the primary actual on-ball assignment. And pretty much the goal is to keep Time Lord or Robert Williams off-ball, allowing him to crash in the paint. And that's with the combination of every time Giannis take one step into the three-point line, everyone's crashing.
True. Didn't even mention the defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart.
And that's what I'm saying. He's going to be picking at the ball.
He's going to be like playing like some crazy defense against these guys.
That's basically going to be the same type of defense they played against Kevin Durant. The only difference is they have to respect Kevin Durant's three-point game.
True.
They had to stay up on
his man,
ass.
Kyrie was able to like play pick and roll with all the players on there, and then pass the ball out to somebody like Brown or somebody like KD. But the real question is, who do you think the second guy is going to be on Milwaukee? Do you really think it's going to be like Jrue Holiday? Do you think he's going to step it up, or maybe somebody like DiVincenzo steps it up, or I don't know.
Throughout the series, it has to be Jrue Holiday because they're going to have someone that primarily has the ball outside of the. Like in their hands, outside of Giannis' hands, and that's gonna have to come up to Jrue Holiday.
That's what I mean. He's definitely gonna have the ball in his hands, but is he gonna take the shots? Is my question.
That's what I'm saying. He might. He's gonna literally be called upon to create his own shot in the series. Like that's gonna be his assignment now. He has no choice.
I hope he does. I mean, because a lot of times, like he likes to pass it off, and I think that in this series, DiVincenzo is gonna have to step up. Like they're gonna need to step up with their threes. What Brooklyn couldn't do is they couldn't hit their threes in a lot of these games. Like, they were passing it off to open men on the corner, you know, like, they were getting some threes that were, like, close to the end of the shot clock, which were bad, but a lot of the threes they were getting were pretty open. They just weren't making them.
The Bucks got way better role players than that, and they'll be able to hit more open shots than that for sure.
Yeah, other than Giannis, I think that they have, like, a lot better three-point shooters than, obviously, Brooklyn.
Yeah. No, I feel like it has to be Jrue Holiday because, like I said, without Middleton, he had to be called on to be the second everything.
Yeah.
Assister, ball handler, shot creator. Like, basically, if the ball's not in Giannis' hands, Jrue Holiday has to be trying to find a way to get a shot going. So we'll definitely see what that is. But one other thing that we have to do pay attention is in the fourth game of the Brooklyn and Celtics series, Jaylen Brown re-aggravated that hamstring injury.
And he was out for like
a... And they took him out at the end of the game.
Last, quarter,
they said
actually,
that he should
quarter.
Be good, but that's something where I don't think he's going to be completely 100%.
Yeah, but you guys have had so much time between the first and the second series. You guys are going to have one week pretty much.
I'll be honest. That was last week's update. That's huge. And that's what I love Coach. Ime has pretty much have not given any... updates on Brown health, really.
Why would he? He wants to give him, like, something to look at.
So that was, like, an update about 5-6 days ago. Like, we really don't know. We'll see. But that is something to look out for.
Whereas on the other side, they gave an update for Middleton already. They said he's going to miss the series.
You know that's over. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but...
with the MCL, you know he wasn't coming back in the next 2 weeks. Next 3 weeks.
I mean, people have done it. Look what happened to KD. Like, he re-aggravated his, you know, when...
No, that's the MCL sprain. I'm talking about for Middleton. He's not coming back in the next 3 weeks, so that's why they could say you're done. For Brown, it's just a little aggravation. He was still able to walk, play, talk. Like, it's just we don't know how tight or how bothersome that's going to be. Especially in a series where anytime you take it to the paint like the slasher you are, you're going to run into Brooke and run into Giannis.
Yeah,
so that's where this series, is he going to be a little bit more of a shooter? Like, is he going to try to not be as aggressive because of that injury? So that's something where maybe Brown might not be the Brown that we used to see.
I don't know. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to score 25 in this series easily. And honestly, this might be another one where you guys kind of roll through, but not that easy. Not like last time, but I mean, if Middleton doesn't find a second guy that could score, then honestly, I got the series in five. I got it pretty easily, you guys winning it. I just think that you guys are way better at defense. Obviously, you guys have defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart. But along with that, like you said, Horford's going to put work on him. I was just going to say, you got Al Horford who's going to be putting in work on Giannis, and especially on the block. Al Horford's a big man. He can actually hold his own on the block.
And don't sleep on his offense. I would say, that's one thing I want to bring up. Al Horford is probably, for me, the sleeper in this series, because not only is he going to be tasked with guarding Giannis, his 10 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1.3 blocks a game. It's pretty much like, that's just great numbers for a big man. See,
my sleeper is probably going to be Robert Williams, because I think if he gets those minutes again, he's going to be in the game, and he's going to be getting some blocks. I really do. I believe. And he's the type of guy that gets like 2 blocks a game he's like at 30 minutes.
He gets those blocks because he usually has that off-ball defensive lurking where you're the last.
Exactly. You know. That's what I'm saying. Last one after everyone tries to get a layup.
He's going to definitely be able to get into that paint and Celtics are one of the best team right now in the league that know how to recover from a missed defensive assignment.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look what they did with Brooklyn. I mean, other than like some of the corner threes that they left open, which they kind of knew that these guys weren't going to make it, so they were leaving some guys open. I mean, some of the late shot clock things that they let Brooklyn do, they just let them shoot at the 4 or 3 second mark at the end from far away, so they didn't want to really let them go inside. That was their defense against Brooklyn. Against Milwaukee, they know that obviously Giannis is going to be going inside. He's the type of player that's going to be dunking, going inside, getting layups, doing the Euro step. He's going to be doing that.
Yeah, they're going to give him a lot more space.
And I don't think they're going to be able to stop that. But my thing is, if a guy like DiVincenzo is going to be able to get like some threes, is he going to be able to go like 5 for 5 for threes or 4 for 5, you know, in threes in this series? Like, I think that they need like another guy that can really score. Obviously, they're going to try to get Giannis out there to shoot some threes, but you just need another guy. You need another guy. Brook Lopez, he's not going to be really doing much in three-point because he doesn't get that many minutes anymore. You know, he gets 10 minutes a game. So I don't know if there's another guy, like you said, other than Jrue Holiday, that can really do it for Milwaukee, and that's an issue for me. Like, I think Jrue Holiday needs to be the facilitator. He's the type of guy that needs to get assists and facilitate the ball, control the ball. And then obviously Giannis gets his point.
That's not really how their offense runs.
It's obviously through Giannis. It's always through Giannis. But
so Drew just got to step up his scoring.
I don't know. I think they need to switch it up now. If they want to win this series, they need to switch it up. They're gonna need to.
I know. But that's the thing. I do as well. But I think switching up is by giving Drew the green light and allow him to produce more than what he wants to do.
Hey man, if he does, I hope he does because he's a great player. No one else is
getting the green light. Like, they're not gonna create plays for DiVincenzo. Even Chandler's just gonna have to get like he's not open
create
he's open.
Plays. Yeah, I mean they're
gonna
like
run
I said,
Drew's number. They're gonna
he's
run
a spot up shooter.
Number.
So
they're gonna run Brook Lopez number in the post a couple times. They literally love running that post game when he's in there.
That's true,
and that's literally probably the three numbers they're gonna call.
They do love running it through Brook and then passing it off.
Yeah, because he's a beast down there,
and he is. I mean, he loves getting passes as well. Sometimes he averages like 5-6 assists. Like if he gets around like 15 minutes, 20 minutes a game. So I definitely think that they have a shot at winning a few games, but honestly, like I just said, I feel like it's a 5-game series for me. Maybe a 6-game series if a guy like DiVincenzo gets hot, scores like 20, 25 points in one of these games. So I'll just say, you know what? I feel like Milwaukee has been playing pretty good even without Middleton. I'll give him 6. I do think that somebody else is going to get hot. I feel like you guys had a lot of time off. You're going to get adjusted. I kind of feel like you guys might lose the first game just because you had so much time off, you know, and these guys already have the momentum going into this series a little bit. So we'll see what happens in the first game. But if they don't win the first game, then I do think that it's going to be a quick 5-game series for you guys. What about you, though? Who you got for this series, though?
I got Celtics in six. Okay. Because yeah. I think Giannis obviously is just unstoppable force, so we're going to have a little bit issue clearly guarding him. He's definitely going to drop 28 this series. But will end up winning. They might. Yeah. I don't think we're losing those two games at home. We're taking one in.
You think you're gonna take one in Milwaukee? So I mean, that means you're gonna have to lose one at home.
That's right.
After that, like game five, maybe you have to lose at home. You're saying if it's gonna go six games.
Damn, it might go five because I don't really see us losing at home.
You don't,
especially if we're up. So if we're up 3-1, I don't see us losing at home game five. So I might go five. I'm gonna go Celtics in five.
Celtics five. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you guys don't lose that one of those first two, then I think it might be a quick series.
Yeah, but we go up 2-0. Yeah, we're taking one in there, and then we going back home 3-1.
Yeah,
we're winning.
Yeah, for me, I do feel like you guys had a lot of time off. I mean, that's a good thing for some teams, and sometimes it's not a good thing. So
I think we'll see what happens for us because of the injuries we're facing. And I don't think our team is one team where it's like, oh, we don't get hot. Because at the end of the day, it's our defense that makes us hot. Like we don't have streaky players. Like
I mean, but you do have to plug some players in right now. Like I said, Robert Williams is just coming back. Yeah, he came in last game, but
his rest, getting his workouts in, making sure he's good.
But usually they start him. So are they going to start him this game or?
Yeah. I'll hope for starting at the four, Robert Williams at the five.
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking too. So like you know, now he's going to be getting over 30 minutes a game. So we're going to have to see how he progresses like through the series as well.
I literally think that 1 week didn't make him worse. If anything, it made him better because he just came back from injury. If anything, he need that week for conditioning, stamina, get his legs back. So I think
I agree with that.
We can help.
No, I agree that it helped him. I'm just saying that he only had like 15 minutes in the game four of the Brooklyn series, and you know he's gonna obviously have way more than that in this series. So we'll see how his injury is. I feel like he's gonna be fine as well, but I do think that you guys are gonna lose one at home just because a lot of time has passed, and I feel like Milwaukee's just like hot right now. Just the first game, you know, they're just gonna be hot.
Yeah,
we'll see though.
Yeah, they're gonna be hot. They're gonna be hot to lose.
Ha! I mean, I still got y'all winning, so either way, like Celtics, we got Celtics. I got Celtics in six, and I don't know. I feel like the Celtics are, like you said, one of the best defensive teams. I think probably the best defensive team.
Unstoppable
in the league.
Force versus an immovable object. Let's see who caves first.
Yeah, but then there's another defensive team on the other side, you know, on the West that we're going to be talking about next in this next series. You know,
which one is that?
I mean, if we're going to be talking about Memphis, they're a great defensive team.
I would say, which, how many?
Are we going to talk about Memphis versus Golden State first?
Yeah, but I would even consider them a great defensive team.
I think they're a pretty decent defensive team. They're probably top five, top ten right now if you look at their regular season stats. I mean, they've obviously got guys that can get steals. Obviously, Morant gets steals. He gets like 1.7 a game. My man Desmond Bain, he gets like a steal a game. So these guys can they do work, you know, on the outside. Obviously, Steven Adams is a great defender.
Defensive team.
Jaren Jackson,
he's losing his spot to Brandon Clark.
Yeah, Jaren Jackson though, he gets like 2.3 blocks a game. Like that's something.
He's a great
defensive
player.
Like they got overall, they're a good defensive team. Like
I give it to you. So yes, a good defensive team in the Memphis Grizzlies. Versus
a great offensive team. Like, all right. I get it.
Exactly.
I get it. I said all that for nothing, huh?
Right. No, you did. At the end of the day, Memphis actually took the series 3-1 in the regular season, but also at the end of the day, only four players played all four of those games, and that was Kevin Looney, Belisha, Gary Payton, and Toscano Anderson. So clearly, the Warriors are struggling with consistency with their lineup all year, and Memphis took advantage of that.
Of course. And I mean, obviously, no matches. Clay probably throughout those times.
Clay only played
maybe once.
One.
Yeah.
And Dre only played twice. And I think Curry only played twice.
Right. So, I mean,
and they weren't
on
the same game.
There you go. And obviously, like, these two teams, they were actually fighting for the second seed in the West pretty much all year.
Mm-hmm.
And Memphis just came up hot after the All Star break. Obviously, when Clay came back, they were trying to adjust Golden State. And then Draymond went out. And then Curry went out towards the end of the season. Now Curry's back. Draymond's back.
Everyone's back.
Obviously, they just got my man Wiseman back. So, I mean, what do you think about this series? Golden State's at pretty much full strength. We just saw what Memphis can do. I mean, they did it against a great team in Minnesota, what a lot of people think is a up-and-coming great team.
Yeah, man. This story's pretty much Ja versus Steph. I mean, that's what it is. Steph's health was in question the first round. That's clearly not a thing anymore. First round, He gave us 28 points, 5 assists, 3 rebounds, 1.6 steals, playing 30 minutes. Came back in the start lineup game 5 versus Denver and closed the game in clutch time.
Ooh, yeah, I mean, so he actually showed that he's clutch player again.
Exactly, Steph is Steph. Mm-hmm. Morant obviously wasn't as efficient as Steph in the first round, but with 21, 8, and 10.5, he basically gave us damn near a triple-double for those 6 games, including that 1.5 steals that you mentioned.
You know what? He wasn't like as efficient as in his scoring, but he did give us 2 triple-doubles in that series. I was going to say, you know,
he damn near averaged a triple-double.
Yeah, so. I think that, you know, his scoring went up, obviously, the second to last game, game 5, when he came out and scored the last 16 points of the game, and he went out and won the game in Minnesota, which is crazy. I mean, like, he went off and started scoring 3s, went up and obviously did that beautiful layup to win the game. I just loved seeing that from him. But the other games, he didn't show that. He didn't show that he can shoot 3s. He had like 14 points one game, 16 points another game. And I was kind of disappointed. I mean, I know he's delivering the ball, throwing it around. But, you know, they could have another Splash Brothers like Golden State has, and Desmond Bane and Morant.
No, they can't.
Desmond Bane averaged more than Morant in the first round.
Just because you have a good backcourt don't qualify you to be a Splash Brother team. Like, you, Splash Brothers are only given to,
but he can shoot
shooters.
3s. Yeah, that's what
but
I mean.
You
Desmond Bane.
No, that's what I mean.
Desmond John Morant steps it up.
Desmond Bane is a 3-point shooter.
No, he's a 40% 3-point shooter. So I think that's great for what he is. He's a great shooting guard at that, and especially, you know, he's one of the most improved players of this year. You know, he's averaging definitely 40%.
Desmond Bane cannot be considered at a level to be a Splash Brother yet.
Listen, I mean, I'm not saying yet, but like I said, they're getting there. They're getting, if John Morant can start shooting. If John Morant can start shooting 3s. Like,
I don't think that's that. I get what you're saying.
Listen,
but
he came out of nowhere this year, Desmond Bane.
Yes and no. The Memphis Grizzlies has been slowly creeping up on us for the last 3 years. Come on, they made the play-in tournament.
That's true. That's
got
true.
Got in the first round. But, like, yes, Desmond Bane's probably one of the people who would have been a candidate for MIP.
He should have been,
For sure. But he's far away from even being an all-star.
Actually, John Morant.
You can't sit here and call people Splash Brothers. One of them isn't even an all-star.
I get it. Like, okay. Maybe I'll take that back. But I said they're getting there. I'm not saying that they're there yet.
That's the thing. I don't think they will.
Yeah, I mean, John Morant steps up his threes, that's his problem is he can't shoot threes consistently. He can shoot three. Like, he's a streaky 3-point shooter, but he can't shoot threes consistently. Desmond Bane actually can. Like, he can actually shoot the Brock.
But, hot take, I don't think Desmond Bane ever becomes an all-star.
I mean, he just averaged 25 points in this series.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. He don't become an all-star standing next to John Morant.
And Jaren Jackson, I agree.
I think he has to go somewhere else, but then at that point, that backcourt is done. Desmond Bane don't become that all-star staying.
But honestly, with them having Jaren Jackson and John Morant, I don't see him staying there that much longer anyways.
No, he's going to want his bag.
Well, they're going to pay them, you know, obviously, whatever is the max, both of these guys. So I think Desmond Bane's going to get his. People are seeing, just like Devin Booker a few years ago, if you watched him, you know, he went off in that play-in tournament. He just went off. I mean, people knew about him, but he had like 28 points a game. That's kind of what, you know, Desmond Bane is doing in this first series that they played against Minnesota. Now, it's going to be interesting to see if he can score like this in the second series, and actually if my man Morant can step it up and score, because if not, then the other Splash Brothers, the real Splash Brothers, they're going to go off. Obviously, Steph was
the
being six-man.
The Splash Triplets.
Yes, yeah, let's not forget Jordan Poole.
The Splash Triplets at this point.
Let's not forget Jordan Poole, but Steph was playing as a six-man role, like pretty much the first round. So now he's going to be back in the starting role. You know, what do you think about that lineup with Steph, Jordan Poole, Klay, and then they're probably going to have Draymond and Wiseman. Like, Wiggins is going to have to go to a bench. What do you think about
I don't know.
Or do you think it's going to be Jordan Poole at the bench?
I don't even know at this point.
Right? That's crazy.
Steve Kerr don't have no curls putting whatever lineup felt good out there. And at this point, we have no idea. At this
point, right?
I don't even know if Wiseman starts.
That's what
because
I mean.
If Steve Adam don't start, why start Wiseman?
I mean,
you know what I mean.
I don't know. I think they're definitely gonna start Wiseman, but I don't know if they're gonna start Wiggins. I don't know.
And then at that point, you might have.
Well, maybe not for the first.
No. Here's the thing. No. Wiggins start. Wiggins is their all-star best forward they have. Wiggins start.
Yeah, I mean, not for the first game, but if it
starts getting... No. Wiggins start. Like, no one... I promise you, Wiggins not going to the bench for Jordan Poole. Wiggins start. Wiggins start, 100%. Yeah, I mean, if someone got to go to the bench, it's between Thompson and Poole. And that's only because Steve Kerr will have to make a decision on who's hotter and where he wants his points.
But even if Andrew
Wiggins, not to mention Andrew Wiggins is the one guarding whatever defensive wing they have. Like, Wiggins is not... Wiggins start.
But they do, like, some weird lineup sometimes where they have a guy starting and then he'll all of a sudden go to the bench in the first 3 minutes. So I feel like the question is, like, who's going to have more minutes, Wiseman or Wiggins in this series?
No, I promise you, Wiggins... Wiggins don't get demoted. Like, Wiggins stay a starter the rest of this playoff.
I totally agree with that, but it's going to be interesting if Brad and Clark from Memphis even starts playing Kuminga good. Even with
Kuminga and Poole, Wiggins start over both of them. Like,
for sure.
Wiggins just became an all-star and is, at this point, the two-way player that they wanted him
he's
to
an
be.
All-star. Now he's the number four option on this team.
That's fine. You know who he's the number one option when you have to defend someone? Him.
I get it. Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. Other than Klay Thompson's a good defender as well. Klay Thompson's a pretty good defender.
I'll be honest. At this point, since the injury, I don't think they're giving Klay any defensive assignments.
Not the best, but he still defends. He's just a tall, lengthy defender.
He's a good defender. Yes and no.
Because I mean, he's 6'7". He can chop.
I feel like we have to see what he brings on that defensive end before we can give him that. Because
I'm not saying he defends the fastest people. I'm saying he defends, like, power forwards and small forwards that are a little bit bigger, like 6'7", you know, small forwards.
He's always been an above-average defender. But at this point in his career and after this injury, with Andrew Wiggins on the team, Steve Kerr is not going to tell him, you're guarding this person. That's not going to be a thing.
Right.
It's just Wiggins guard whoever he guards. Draymond guard whoever they guard. The rest of the teams switch and defend based off of that.
They switch, that's exactly what they do.
So, yeah, no, Wiggins is the one getting defensive assignments for the whole team, him and Draymond. So, yeah, it's going to definitely be Draymond, Wiggs. If Wiseman start, they're going to start. I don't think they're going to start the death lineup to start off with, so Wiseman more than likely will start if he's ready. And then at that point, like I said, it's going to be between Klay and Poole at the two.
I mean, I believe that Klay is going to start just because he did last game.
I think so, too. And Poole coming to the bench, because I think Poole also has to go to the bench because he's also their secondary primary ball handler. So it also makes better sense for him. He's a great ball handler as well. To go to the bench because him, Kuminga coming off the bench, fantastic.
That's true. But here's the thing, though. In the playoffs and the regular season, Memphis scored more points than Golden State, which is an interesting stat, where you would think it'd be the other way around. They didn't just score a little bit, though, but even in the playoffs, they scored 7 more points in the playoffs, actually. Compared in the regular season, they only scored Memphis 115 to Golden State 111.
You know what helps, though? When you give up a 20-point lead, and then that team allows you to come back. Like, they damn near scored 31 points in the fourth quarter.
Twice. They did that twice, for sure. They scored 36 or 35 twice in the fourth quarter. In the
fourth quarter alone.
But even that. They're still a high-scoring team, though.
That's obviously, you know, Memphis doing. But you can't sit here and tell me that just wasn't just lapse.
It was a collapse on Minnesota for sure. Yeah, they lost. They just gave it up. They gave up 2 games when they should have actually had this series in the bag. It could have been theirs
against other teams.
It's not, because honestly, you know who's one of the best in the third and fourth quarter?
The Warriors. And that's why I hate taking the small sample size we get from the first round. Because it shows, all right, who's getting hot, who's getting off, but those are matchup based.
I get it, but I mean, these are regular season stats too. They were 4 points above the Warriors in the regular season as well. So, they're a high scoring team.
They ended up being a better team at the end of the day.
That's what I mean. Like, they're a high scoring team. Like, even Steven Adams, like, he still gets, like, over, he gets, like, a damn near double double, like 10 and 10. So, you even got to give it to, like, somebody like him. Obviously, Moran is going to be their primary guy that's going to try to get triple doubles, and hopefully he steps it up and averages around like 25, but can you really trust him to do that this series? I don't know.
So my issue with this series is the death lineup. When you sacrifice so much rebounding on a team that already struggles with rebounding, when they go to that death lineup, how bad is it going to affect them when you got one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the Memphis Grizzlies?
True.
And that's, for me, going to be the biggest matchup, because at that point you're controlling whoever controls the board. Like, if the Warriors can outscore while giving up the boards, that's fine. But at the end of the day, you mostly don't outscore someone when you lose the rebound game.
Yeah.
Like, that's hard to do.
So, I mean, I guess Quinn Snyder already came out and said that he's going to start Brandon Clark in the first game. Brandon Clark's going to start over Steven Adams, and they're going to have Jaren Jackson at the four, Brandon Clark at the five. That could be a possibility to say that Golden State is going to go with a smaller lineup. I don't know. Maybe they don't even start Wiseman, and they have Draymond at the five with that depth lineup, which is going to be interesting because I do think that at least in the first game, first two games, I do believe that Memphis is going to play very well, especially playing at home. Golden State doesn't play that well on the road, you know. They never have. Like, in the playoffs, they never played that well on the road. So, you know, they play great at home, obviously. They have one of the best home atmospheres in the NBA. But as far as on the road, they always have trouble with it. And so I do think those first two games, they could even go 0-2. You know, I don't know if they're going to be...
I won't go 0-2.
All right. I mean, Memphis is number two for a reason. I know that they played Minnesota and, you know...
And they struggled.
They struggled with them. But, listen, Minnesota has pretty much... three guys that you could consider at one point all-stars, or they were all-stars at one point, you know, or Anthony Edwards is just one this year, but Denver only had one all-star, you know, so obviously Minnesota could be considered a better team than Denver.
And now you got another three on the other side with that most improved player of the year who should have been.
I mean, Jordan Poole probably should have been definitely up there.
And then a healthy Wiseman with a healthy Kuminga.
True. Problems. So, I mean, tell me, who you got in this series? I mean, it sounds like you got it a sweep.
Nah. At the end of the day, Steph Curry's going to have to navigate and control that perimeter on offense. Draymond Green's going to have to navigate and control that paint on defense. And as long as those two things can go their way, like I said, I'm very, very excited to see how that depth lineup fares against such a good rebounding team.
Yeah,
especially on offensive boards. So I really want to see that. And obviously how the Steve Kerr, you know, react to that, things like that. At the end of the day, I got it Warriors in six.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So, you know, this series for me is interesting because I know that you think it's going to be just a blowout just because the Warriors didn't have their players in the regular season. But I think that Memphis learned a lot in the regular season from the Warriors. I think that they know how to play with them defensively.
Memphis' ascension has been tied to the Warriors the last 3 years. Since Ja Morant came into the
league. If you remember that play-in game.
The play-in game. And then not even that, they played the last game of the season to decide if they can even get in the play-in game. And the Grizzlies won that. Or I think the Warriors won that just to lose in the
play-in game. Yeah. So which is crazy.
Since Morant came into this league, he's basically his whole postseason career has somehow keep coming back to the Warriors. And he was able to best them when it was just Curry.
Yeah. But now, obviously, they have playback. Now they got pullback.
Most improved player of the year now.
Which, honestly, I don't think he should have got that. He should have been an MVP candidate to me. I think
John Morant. You can't be an MVP candidate because he was. You can't be an MVP candidate and then win most improved player of the year.
I don't think he should have
won rookie of the year.
Here's the thing. I don't think he should have won MIP or most improved player. I think he should have been just the MVP candidate. Probably would have got like a fifth place finish, but I don't think that he was the most improved player. I said this even in our awards episode. I think Jordan Poole should have probably got it. You know,
I mean,
a lot
I
of people
picked him because I knew the three candidates who it was.
I mean, I picked him too because he was the favorite. He's probably gonna win, you know. But otherwise, like, they do have a lot of 3-point shooters. Memphis does. I mean, other than Morant, obviously Bain can shoot, but Kyle Anderson is a great 3-point shooter. Also, Dylan Brooks is a really good 3-point shooter. I mean, another guy that actually shoot 3 points is Tyus Jones, and he actually showed out in that Minnesota game, the fifth and sixth game. He actually showed out, got over 20 points both those games. So, actually, Memphis Grizzlies do have like four guys that can shoot the three, just like Golden State Warriors can. Now, do I think that they can win three games? Yes. Do I think that they can win four against the Warriors? No. I think there's gonna be a 7-game series. I got this as 7 games, and I do think the Warriors are going to win that 7th game, but it's going to be a tough one, honestly. Yeah. I think it's going to be a tough series because both of these teams can shoot, and they actually like to score a lot. But I think Memphis plays some better defense down in the block with Jaren Jackson and in the front court a little bit with Morant. So we'll have to see what happens, though. I still got Golden State winning it, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Damn, I think we agree on every series so far.
I know, right? Yeah. It's crazy.
So let's see if we agree on this last one. Yeah. I probably think we will.
I don't know.
One thing I do like to point out, 1-4 made it in all.
I know. That's crazy. It's one of the first times in the last 10 years that it's happened. Mm-hmm. It only happened one other time. I forgot the year, but in the last 10 years, it's only happened once.
One versus four in both conferences.
It's usually always like one or two.
Let's see if we could do one versus two.
I mean, let's see if there's going to be any upsets. Because
right now, we both got one versus two in the East.
But we picked the we picked the underdog in the Warriors because they are the underdog. They're three versus two.
So that is a three.
That's why I got Memphis winning a few games because obviously the first two are going to be in Memphis. I gotta go with them.
Yeah, I think the Warriors take one on the road.
So. Yeah, I could see that.
Let's go on the last one. That's Phoenix Suns versus Dallas Mavericks. Definitely Suns are the favorite in the series. Best team in the regular season. Extremely deep roster. Devin Booker miraculously returned from his injury.
Came back last game. Like, crazy.
And then, obviously, over the other side, you got Luka Doncic, pretty much superstar by himself.
Well, my man, Jalen Brunson came out of nowhere in the first round.
He's not even an all-star yet, but he has excelled and been extremely productive in the first round, and I expect that to continue.
You know how good he's been? Yeah. They benched Dinwiddie to put Jalen Brunson in, and Dinwiddie was the guy that they got from the Porzingis trade.
Yeah.
So that's how good Jalen Brunson is.
Which is nice because they also can combat the Suns' deep roster with people like Dinwiddie, Bullock, Finney-Smith.
Looking shoot.
Pretty much good role players on the wings.
Yeah.
Definitely will look to push the Suns to the brink. Like, this is Luka's already shown that he can take over a series and take any series to a competitive series just by himself.
Finally, so he's happy he won his first playoff series, so.
Yes, it was his first time getting out the first round. And at the end of the day, it is nice, but now he has to face one of the best teams in the league, the best team in the league. And to most people, the second best defender in the league.
Yeah.
And Mikal Bridges.
Mikal Bridges, yeah. I mean, if you look second
or third, depending on the voting.
I think he went second this year, but he will go second. I don't think they've done it yet, but.
Yeah, Marcus Smart won.
Oh, Marcus Smart won. That's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. They haven't done six.
Man. Right, that's the one they haven't done.
Right. So, anyways, I do think that as far as like the Suns, they got Booker back, so it's going to be a tough series now that he's back.
They don't got no one over there who can guard him.
He didn't even play like that many minutes on the first round. So when he came back, so that's gonna be interesting to watch. But as far as the other side, I think that Doncic, man, like he's finally showing out. He's showing out like an MVP type candidate. He's showing out what he can do, win a series by himself, kind of like a guy like Damian Lillard did by himself.
A good matchup in the first round for him to utilize his skills. Because at the end of the day, like I said, Gobert, you can pull him out of play and find a way to make him useless.
And that was interesting because now they're going to have a guy that they're going to have to defend in DeAndre Ayton, and they don't really have any bigs like that. They got Kleba,
That was my biggest key to that because they literally played Luka at the five in a small ball lineup with Gobert, basically having Luka guard Gobert because they were not in any way, shape, or form scared of Gobert's offensive ability. They have to have Kleba, and they have to have what's his name?
Aiden's a different type of animal,
Powell.
Though.
They have to have Powell's gonna Powell guard Aiden, and it's gonna be a matchup for them. But then Kleba's gonna try to do what he does best and pull Aiden out the paint, and shoot his shots, and pretty much so that's that matchup right there. Kleba versus Aiden's gonna be one that
Aiden's got I'm that. Gonna, I think no, I feel like Aiden's gonna have that.
I'm talking about the dynamic Kleba's gonna of stay what outside. They're doing. Kleba is going to try to find a way to defend Ayton, which won't work. And then on offense, he's going to try to pull Ayton out the paint to allow other people like Doncic can actually score easily without a secondary defender.
Yeah. Honestly, I could see them even putting in Boban in this series. Like, Boban's going to get a few minutes, like 15 minutes in per game in this series. Because they're going to need a big guy that can hold that paint against Ayton. Ayton loves to stay in the paint. That's one thing about him. He doesn't like to go shoot threes. He's a traditional big center. Likes to stay in the paint, play post up, gets those turn around hooks or goes inside and gets a layup. But obviously Chris Paul, he's been going off in this playoff run.
Oh yeah.
Like this first round, obviously that Flyers game, he went 14-for-14 playoff record.
33 points.
Crazy. And I was wondering if anyone else is gonna be able to score without Booker. And even when Booker came in and he was able to score, Chris Paul did it. And in this series, you think he's going to be able to outscore a guy like Doncic, or you think Booker's going to come back as...
score. Booker yeah. and Doncic are going to be the scorer.
That's what I was going to say. You think Booker's going to come back as a scorer?
When I said there wasn't going to be no upset with the Suns and Pelicans, because even if Booker didn't come back, I said Chris Paul's the one person you want your team to take over.
You did say that, and I didn't agree, actually.
And
I thought
he
that
went out there and had a perfect game.
He had a perfect game, which is crazy. He took over. He definitely did, and I was definitely surprised, because I didn't think... I was wondering who's going to be the second guy for them. I thought Chris Paul was going to get his 15, you know, but...
He don't like scoring, but he...
No, he don't. He has to,
he'll score.
I mean, he was getting a lot of, like, little hooks,
I don't understand. Free throws. He kept saying they kept letting him get to his spots, but, like, motherfucker, no one's letting you get to your spot.
He was
but,
doing like, a lot of pump fakes, bro.
To get to his spot.
No, he got a lot of...
He was finding a way to get to his spot.
He definitely got a lot of short, like, 12-foot shots. Like, you know, he'll get close to the basket, do a little pump fake, let a guy jump, and then, like, shoot a little... That's post jumper, but
he's like, they was letting me get to my spot. So I was like, no, they were on you all night, but you were still finding a way.
He was finding a way, exactly. And in this series, I think that a guy like Doncic is going to be able to do that same thing, because Doncic is able to, like, obviously go a little bit slower than Chris Paul, but he's able to move through the defense very easily. He likes to crisscross through everybody, gets his layups, go outside, shoot those threes. Hey, that's going to be a great matchup, and I do think that's going to be the matchup of the series. If Crowder is going to be able to hold Luka to under 30.
Well, it's going to be Mikal first, but when they're going to try to switch.
I don't know. I think Mikal's too big, but they might put him in later.
No. I mean, I promise you Mikal Bridges is getting that defensive assignment. Yeah. Anyone that's not, like, that's the thing with most of these wing players, I think Doncic is 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah, you know, he is. So I know that. Yes, they're both the same size. It's just that
if Mikal had to guard Chris Paul, then yes, that would be a little bit of a...
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Because Bridges is 100% getting the Luka Doncic.
Because Luka plays that point guard position. So, like, obviously, I know it doesn't, but...
Luka just played the five. Of course. He literally just played the center at the point guard position.
But as far as, like, him bringing the ball up the court, like, I could see Chris Paul trying to take him. Chris Paul's a good defender, too.
No.
Chris Paul was... He was a steal... No, you know that Chris Paul was a steal champion like 5 years in a row.
If Luka Doncic is coming down the court, the only person who's going to be in his face is Mikal Bridges.
I do think that they're going to try to double him there. They're probably going to double him with Mikal Bridges, but...
No, it's going to... Like,
I think it's going to be doubles,
I promise you, it's not even going to be like...
Yeah, it's going to be doubles, man. Are you kidding
Mikal Bridges is going to be the primary assignment. Like, Chris Paul is not going to get to guard Luka Doncic whatsoever. Like, just because they both play point guard, that don't mean nothing.
Of course. It never does, but Chris Paul is a good defender.
Yes, he plays, not on a 6'7" person.
Oh, he does? He can?
But listen, you literally
He's guarded LeBron before.
You literally have a Defensive Player of the Year candidate on your team that's same size and height.
And that's what I just said. They're probably going to be switching.
He's going to be the primary assignment.
We'll have to see him going up the court.
I promise you, we could literally bet money on it.
Every
time they go down the court.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I heard it right here.
Yeah, I heard it here first.
Mikal Bridges will be the 100% primary defensive assignment on Luka. And I don't even
you
say
said
that.
100%.
I will counter that. That with the secondary defensive assignment will be Crowder. Chris Paul will only guard Luka if they switch. If he's on someone,
I think it's the opposite, actually. I think going up the court, Chris Paul's going to take him, and then they're going to switch very quickly.
That makes no sense.
Because that's what Doncic always brings up a pick. He always does that when he comes up the court. And then they're going to switch then. That's what's going to happen.
That makes no sense. Why would
they not want to switch with Mikal Bridges instead of with somebody smaller?
But you just literally said that Luka's going to walk down the court with Chris Paul as a primary defender and try to get the switch on somebody else. That's not what they're going to do.
It's not Luka's.
No, Luka's
what Luka wants to do. That's what the Suns want to do.
No, the Suns is going to do is set Mikal as a primary defender
and fight
over the screen.
I think Mikal's going to be...
I promise you, not one point when Luka's going down the court is Chris Paul going to be, all right, I got him.
I don't know, man. I feel like Mikal Bridges. I feel like Mikal Bridges is going to be trying to hold down Jalen Brunson or Kleba as well. Because honestly, if a guy like Boban comes on the court as well... Then that's the guy that's going to be on
That's
Aiden.
What they got Crowder for. I'm telling you, bro.
Crowder's a different story. But I do think we'll see. We bet on that Chris Paul thing, though. I do think Chris Paul is going to be guarding him. I'll get some footage. I will. So, y'all check that out.
You're only going to get footage after Luka switches Mikal off of him.
No, I'm talking about going up the court.
That
was my bet.
You won't get footage.
Okay, well, I will. All right, we'll see. We'll see about that.
You won't get. Is that game tonight, goddammit?
No, it's not. I hope it was. But it's coming up soon. But anyways, as far as, like, the actual, like, in-game series, like, the defense. Who do you think is going to be a better defender in this series? Do you think it's going to be Michael Bridges, or do you think it's going to be somebody, you know, on the other side?
The one on Dallas has, they don't have any defenders, and Michael Bridges is going to be the better defender because he's going to be the one guarding Luka all series. Now, it may not seem like it, because Luka's still going to give you 30 points, but when if it comes to who's going to be the best defender on that court, it's Michael Bridges already.
I think, like, no question. Tim Hardaway Jr. In spurts, he can defend. If he can defend Booker in spurts,
he's then, not even in the starting lineup.
No, that's what I mean. He's a backup shooting guard, so if he defends in spurts, he only gets like 15, 20 minutes a game. Booker that's is still enough. Through him. I mean, you think he's going to average, like, what, 25?
Over.
Over 25?
Booker's averaging over 25 this series, 100%. Okay. There's literally okay. No one on the Mavs team who could stop him.
All right.
Luka can't defend know. Worth a damn.
No, I didn't say Luka
no, at all. No, I'm saying there's no one over Luka there. Like all. I said, they're going to try to give him, like, Brunson's Bullock, decent. Mini Smith. Brunson will get ate up by Booker.
Okay. So, who you got for this series? Because, you're saying that Booker's going to score over 25. I think a guy like Luka's going to score over 30 in this series.
And he's going to score over 30 and still get walked out and go home.
Ooh, Suns and you six. Think so? Wow.
Suns and six.
And you got that just based off of their defense?
So right now, the only thing saving the Mavs, beating a Jazz team isn't that impressive. And the only thing saving them was they're literally, like, ridiculously hot, showing over 50%
in that first round. And that's where I'm going to go with this.
That's going to drop in the second round when you got one of the best defensive teams. Like, what are you talking about?
Live by the three, die by the three. You're going to be able to get open shots because Luka's going to be able to do his little Euro step, go inside, find open shots for Brunson. Even my man Dinwiddie is going to go in and get his 25 minutes a game. Dinwiddie, I think he's going to step it up, try to get like close to 15, 20 points a game this series. He's going to need to because they're going to need shooters because the Suns can score too. The Suns can score a lot, but I think that with Bullock, with Tim Hardaway Jr., with obviously Luka Doncic and Jalen Brunson, those guys can shoot threes, and I think that's going to be the series for Dallas. Live by the three, die by the three. I know that right now you think that like Booker is like fine and dandy, he's ready to go 100%, but he didn't even play more than 20 minutes in the last game that he played.
They didn't need him to.
I agree. I definitely agree with you there. But you know, you would want to see him play like 30, 35 minutes if he's going to score like 25 points a game. I don't think they're going to start him that much in the first game. I think he's going to start like 25 to 30 minutes, and I don't think he's going to get close to that average yet. So I do think that Dallas is going to come out hot. I got the series going seven games, man. I think that there's going to be three series in the semifinals that go seven games.
I don't think none of them do.
Oof. So I got three. I got two of them going seven games. The other two
round,
I got.
No game seven.
Yeah, sorry. I only got two of them going seven. I didn't mean three. I got this one and the one in the East going seven as well. But this one I do think is going seven. But you're going to be surprised who I pick. I picked Doncic. And I think he's going to go off. He's going to be getting like 35. I think one time he might even score 50. He's going to need to win. He's going to need to. I mean, there's been impressive playoff runs by players before. And right now, Jalen Brunson had the playoff run of his life. You know, the first round, he scored over 30 points every single game. The interesting thing is going to be is Doncic going to be able to do that same thing and even better? Because with both of them scoring, I think that they're going to be able to beat this team.
Yeah, but I, like I said, they didn't literally have not one wing defender in Jazz.
Not I mean,
one wing defender.
Reggie Bullock can defend. Obviously, Tim Hardaway Jr. can defend.
On the Jazz.
Oh, sorry. All right, on the Jazz. Yeah.
They had no one. And clearly Gobert, like Doncic did work on Gobert, Brunson as well. Like, yes, he's Offensive Player of the Year, but like, he's a big man. They have no wing or guard defenders on the Jazz, and that's allowed them to go off. They're not going to face that when they face one of the best offensive players in the league right now.
Hey, listen, I get it, but they played before. They played four times this year, and I believe it was 2-2.
Nope.
When they played?
3-0.
3-0. You sure?
3-0
Suns. 3-0 by Suns. Okay. 3-0 I mean, they've been amazing all year.
That's what I'm saying. The Suns.
I'm thinking about last year when they were
good. You sure about that? Yeah, no.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking about last year because I remember.
Because I was like, where was the fourth game? They never played the fourth game. Okay, it was 3-0 Suns. That's what I'm saying.
That's right.
Bro, they got defenders over there.
But I still think that with the amount of shooters that they've shown, like especially in the first round, they showed that they could shoot very well.
Yeah, against an average defending Jazz team. And that's what I said. They literally shot, what is it? They literally shot 37% off of 15 three-pointers per game, which is hot.
Yeah, I mean,
they're not hitting 15 threes a game.
I mean, Dallas wasn't really an average team. Like,
and I was saying,
they got one of the best offensive scorers. They had to hit
15 threes a game.
And that's great.
To beat an average Jazz team.
But, I mean, when you're hot like that and you can make those threes, that's huge. Like, that's what you need to win a game is threes.
You're only hot until you run into defense. That's what happens. Like, you don't – that's what hotness is.
Listen, I could see that if there was one guy, but they have 5 to 6 shooters.
And all of them are average. The only one that's above average right now is Doncic and Brunson. And Brunson is only giving one playoff series worth of above average. Like, you're acting like he's an all-star.
He's he's not 17 this year.
And that's not even all-star.
Game. No, of course. I'm not talking about all-star. Like, we're not talking all-star. There's no other all-star on their team.
In the NBA. And at this point...
But there's only one all-star on the Suns, too. I mean, Booker was the only all-star. What do you mean?
You telling me Chris Paul's not an all-star?
I didn't say he wasn't in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Or he's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
No, I said all-star. Chris Paul never made an all-star team. I'm not talking about just all-star accolades on their resume.
I didn't say that either.
That's what I'm saying. But Chris Paul's an all-star.
So Dan Whittle was an all-star.
Okay, then that's fine.
Okay, so there's another all-star.
But he's still not even an above-average shooter.
He's above average. No, he's above average.
He's not an above average shooter.
Average? Average is like 35%. He's above average.
At what, 36?
No, he's like at least 39%. Are you kidding me? Like field goal percentage?
Brunson?
You talking about 3-point or what?
He's not even an all-star level.
Wait, 3-point or field goal? Like
just average shooter. Just all together.
All together, he's over 40%. Over 40%, easily.
And that's what I'm saying. You don't even got your damn... That all-star's not even starting. And he's starting over someone who's not... Like, I'm saying, like, Brunson, I literally love what Brunson's doing this playoff series, but I can't give him that, oh, he's just going to go out there and drop another 30 against the Suns. No, that
was why they started him, though. They started him...
Against defenseless
They
Jazz.
Started him because he played so well against Donovan Mitchell. He played so well against him. He got Donovan Mitchell under 25 points a few games. He was able to actually defend against him and shoot.
So you think he's going to be the one guarding Booker?
I do.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's a shooting guard against a shooting guard. That's what's going to happen. That's crazy. You think
he's going to do a good job guarding Booker?
I do, especially Booker's just coming in. Booker's just coming in like in his series. He hasn't even played like 30 minutes a game.
What? We're talking about literally probably top five best.
Do you understand he hasn't played 30 minutes a game since like the end of March? Like, it's a whole month. He hasn't played he didn't play the first game, did he? In the first series? I think he was out like literally the last few games of the regular season, then he was out the first series.
Yeah, and he still came and dropped 23.
Yeah, that's so look how many free throws he had towards the end of the game though. Because then the game, he literally had 6 points in free throws. He actually had, like, a bad game. They were even talking about it.
But he averaged 23 the series.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Brunson only averaged 27.
He averaged 23 one game? Two games?
And that's what I'm saying. Brunson literally, you just say he had multiple 30-point games and still only averaged 37 and literally played
27,
12 more minutes than Booker. Like, that's not impressive to me.
I mean, he averaged a pretty good amount for the amount that Doncic is getting. Booker is the number one option, whereas obviously.
But that's what I'm saying. You're just telling me Booker hasn't been playing his full minutes, hasn't been 100%. He still dropped an easy 23, and then got injured, came back, dropped another 20. Brunson,
I don't doubt he can get his 20, but
my man is about to be just.
But if my man can get his 20 and Doncic can get his 30, then that's 50 points right there from two guys.
And then that's what you need. No, what they need is 70 more points.
So, I mean, we'll see about that.
Where are they going to get the rest from?
I don't know. We'll have to see about 70. I think it's going to be close to like 60. 60. Yeah, it's going to be a 110. But as far as Dinwiddie, he averages 42%, by the way. And his three-pointers are pretty good. He's at 35% for the three.
That's average.
He shoots 5 of them, makes 2. So that's pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. That's pretty good. That's 40, average, though.
I mean, what's the thing? 42% is more better than average. Average is like 37-35%.
42% in three or overall?
That's overall. In three, he's 35%.
He's shooting under 50 overall. That's not that's literally not
under 50. Nobody really shoots over like close to 50.
It's between you said like 42 or 47.
42%. Like nobody
that's
shoots. Nobody shoots like close to 50. Like
other than
big men. Like big men shoot close to 50.
But
42
for a guard.
44% is like 30, what
you said. 33. Like that's what I'm saying. Spencer Dinwiddie's not above average shooter. He's an average shooter.
That's above average. Average is 35%, bro. Like literally. Like, where do you get that? Where do you get, like, 50% is only the big man. Like,
no, but I'm saying, like, you're Doncic saying,
average, like, Doncic you're saying, is 44%. Like, that's, and you think he's an above average shooter?
No.
What?
His no. What?
Wait. You don't think Doncic is an above average shooter?
When it comes to skill, but shooting. When it comes to percentage. No. We're talking about percentage. Percentage, he's horrible.
But Doncic is not three point.
But you can't, you can't give me.
I didn't say 3 point.
But overall, but Doncic is on a whole nother level because Doncic is giving me us superstar numbers and super attempts. Spencer Dinwiddie is giving you not even 10 attempts a game, and he's shooting average with it. Like, he's an average person.
That's not average. Like, 42% is not. I don't know how you think that's average. He's shooting just around 10 shots a game, you know, and that's really good for what they need him. Obviously, a guy like Jalen Brunson is going to be getting more minutes now, you know, him getting around 17 points a game. I just think that you saying that Doncic is an average shooter is crazy. And even like a guy like Dinwiddie saying he's an average shooter, that's not an average shooter because most guys. Field goal percent
average for this year was 46. He said 42.
For this year? No, yes, it was 42%. 42.9, actually.
I'm literally looking on the average of 2001-2002.
Who are you looking for?
The NBA. That's what I'm saying. The NBA average of field goal percentage.
Yeah, because that's the average of big men and small men. Look at the guards. Look at a guard. Look at Jason Tatum. Look at what he shoots. Look at Doncic. Look at what he shoots. Like, look at what Jalen Brunson shoots. He's the same thing. Brunson, he's a little bit better, actually. You know, he shoots at 47-48%, but his three-point is at 37.
What's his three-point percentage? 37?
Jalen's at 37. He's actually a pretty good three-point shooter.
What's Spencer's?
Spencer's at 33.
And 35.6 is the average. He's not an average three-point shooter. That's what I'm saying. Spencer Dinwiddie.
I said he's above average shooter is what I said. And you said that.
So how if he's below average in all shooting stats?
He's 42%.
That's below average.
That's because you add big men. Look at it. Look at positional. You got to look at positional stats because obviously big men are going to score over 55%. A lot of big men, like there's some big men that score 50% or 60%. Look at Jokic. He was almost at 60% this year. He's going to bring the average up a lot.
He's what? Average 43?
43%.
Then he is average.
Yeah, that's one. Average. What was that?
43.9.
For what? For his?
Is shooting guard. Up the first time. He's literally an average shooter.
Well, Doncic is saying, like, and 45% Brunson, and you think he's a good shooter.
One on that team that's above average shooter besides Luka. And that's only because he obviously playing in Euro, he pretty much learned that step back is lethal.
Step back is lethal too.
But if you literally look at his efficiency, Luka's an average shooter as
well. For his 3 points, but he's efficient at going inside. No, that's what I'm saying. Getting free throws, getting those floaters.
We can't call Luka average because of the intangibles he brings to the table, even though his efficiency isn't the best. But those intangibles are not given to us by Spencer Dinwiddie or by Brunson. They are average players and average shooters.
Listen, Dallas
Mavericks is shooting hot in a 5-6 game span against a very bad defensive team in the Utah Jazz. That is stopping right here against the Suns.
We'll have to see, though.
I love that we just spent 20 minutes.
I love it, though. I love that, too. Because obviously, we had to get one that we were different on, you know? Yeah. Like, we had to get a little debate going on one. And obviously, like, that's going to be interesting. If the Suns win, then it's going to be all the favorites except Warriors for you. For me, it's going to be two upsets in the West. And then two, main ones in the East.
So who was your second upset? The Warriors versus the
Warriors is an upset, technically. That's an upset because they're 3-2.
But if they're the favorite, is it
they're
an
upset?
They're
not the favorite. Well, they're not the favorite because they're 3-2.
Well, no, I'm talking about, but that's just where they fell in the standings. But when you get the matchups at this point,
right,
favorite is the Warriors and they win, that's not an upset.
That might be in one game, but if you look at, look at a 7-game series, who has more home games?
But I'm saying, what you're saying, but I don't think Vegas is giving. I don't think
they
Vegas
have to.
Is giving them.
They have to give you for home field advantage. They have to give you the favorite.
Like 3 points.
They give you 3 points. Yeah, they have to give you. So it might be a pick'em game, but it's not going to be like no favorite.
I wonder what it is
for the Warriors, like especially not the first two games. The next two are going to be.
I'm talking about the whole series. I don't think the Warriors. I think the Warriors are a favorite for the series.
They can be because they still have only 3 games at home, and Memphis has 4 games at home. Just by the fact that unless there was a big injury, that's the only way that, they would go down like that. But just like Philadelphia still, I think they're still like above, what the betting favorites would be in Miami. Like they didn't bring them down since Embiid went down. They still have it favored the same thing. But,
They got the Warriors favored.
For what? First game or the whole series?
The whole series.
What do they got in favored? Like how many? What's the wager? Like plus what? Or minus?
Minus 1.5.
Minus 1.5. Series. Well, that's for the game, first game. 1.5 sounds like the game line.
Oh, that is. I'm tripping. But they're still 54%.
I mean, listen, if they're favored for the first game, that's interesting, though. Because they give Memphis 3 points.
That's what I'm, and they're bro, favoring that's what I'm saying. Warriors are favored in the whole series.
They're giving them 4 points right there, pretty
Memphis
much.
Memphis is not even getting the whole... Like, yeah, like Warriors are favored in the whole series.
Still, I look at it way differently. Like, look, the NBA's got home field advantage for a reason. Like, you get that record for a reason to go home and play.
So, no, and I get what you're saying, but that's what I'm saying. Even with home field... The betting came out, and they still got Warriors.
I get it, but I still look at ranking. You know, like the ranking, they're the underdog. You know, I guess you could say they're the best team because now they got everyone back. But yeah, I could say they're probably one of the best teams in the league right now. Yeah. But as far as like their, you know, ranking, they're third against the two. That's one of the upsets, and then obviously four against the one in Dallas. That would be my other.
But yeah,
upset.
But think about it: if the fifth place Raptors beat the 76ers and. The Hawks, like, oh no. Let's say, it was who the Bucks just beat. I just forgot that quick.
The Bucks, well, they were 3 seed against the number 6.
Who they just beat? Who, though?
So let's see. Miami played Atlanta, yeah. And then you guys Brooklyn. Played Brooklyn, and then obviously the 4 and 5 was Philly versus Toronto, and then
who the hell the Brit? I can't remember that last team.
No, let me stop.
That's
yo.
What I'm saying. Who the
now
hell?
You
the,
got me forgetting that.
Who the
like,
hell the
what
Bucks
the hell
just
is...
beat?
No, I mean it should be pretty easy for us.
Bulls.
No, thank you, Bulls.
Okay, thank you.
But they were without.
So
Zach.
That's what I'm saying.
They were
so if the Bulls won and the Brooklyn won, the Bulls would be ranked at a higher seed, but Brooklyn would still be a favorite.
I get it, but still, you know like I would still like it would still be an upset because even if Brooklyn would have beat you guys. Somehow, you know, that would have been an upset. Like, I mean, do you have Brooklyn as a better team? Like, I don't know, but, you know.
Yeah, no, the seed. I get what you're saying, the seeding. But,
like,
yeah.
You have to look at the home games as, like, something. I don't know.
Yeah,
especially
no, I get you.
If it's not in the, if it's not in the bubble. Like, let me not bring that up. Let me not bring that
yo,
up.
We literally got in a full blown, and it, obviously you know as we go back and forth, but it to other people, they thought we was in a full blown yelling argument in the bar about whether or not we find the Mickey Mouse ring from the 2020 NBA year, the bubble
if
championship, whether if it's legitimate or not, or if there should be an asterisk next to it and stuff like
and
that.
And you know what? I think we should have a debate for them on one of our next episodes, maybe like close
we
to the
have
finals.
To.
We got to have a debate for y'all because I got a lot to say about that Disney championship. I know, you know, a lot of people say it's legit, real, okay, but I got a lot to say about that.
That's
one.
Fact.
But, I mean, as far as this episode, it was great to talk about
yes.
all these matchups, and I know they're going to be some great matchups.
Honestly, it looks like that Suns versus... That Suns versus
Suns versus Dallas.
Dallas. Why I almost said Grizzlies.
Yeah,
but it looked like that's the one to watch right now, especially with both our takes. It seemed like we both see it going a different way.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely gonna have to watch for that one, and definitely gonna have to watch for Doncic, my man.
And yeah. I would say we both see the type of players they have.
Exactly.
Giving us different. So yeah, I'll be honest. It's still gonna be a competitive series.
I mean, literally, it's defense versus offense.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You got a more defensive. I got a more offensive in the three. So we'll see. We'll see. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be interesting. But thank you guys for watching this episode. Mm-hmm. I know we had like a while till we got to the end point, but I know if you guys are sticking with us, then you want to subscribe to us wherever you want to watch us. If it's on YouTube, if it's on our social media platforms, definitely check us out there. If you want to listen to us, like check out our podcasts wherever you get them. And you can check out our older episodes too, you know, see what our other takes are. If you guys want to ask us other stuff, you know, check us out.
Yeah, check us out on social media. You know how it is. We love interacting with our fans. We love the comments, the likes, everything you do for us on all our social media. And we definitely want to keep giving you the content you love.
That's right. So really appreciate you guys checking out this episode. And we'll see you guys next time on Who You Got With
Mello
and Rotto. Peace, y'all.
Peace.